and through covetousness shall they with feign words make merchandise of you. All I have to do is find out what you're lusting after. That is, what you're dialoguing with yourself about that you do not have, offering to help you attain it, and I own you. Carl Rogers explained it clearly, the deceitfulness that dialogue has when it comes to behavior. If we have the power, quote, if we have the power or authority to establish the necessary conditions, the predicted behaviors, our potential ability to influence or control the behavior of groups will follow. We can choose to use our growing knowledge to enslave people in ways never dreamed of before, depersonalizing them, controlling them by means so carefully selected that they will perhaps never be aware of their loss of personhood. We know how to change the opinions of an individual in a selected direction without his ever becoming aware of the stimuli which changed his opinion. We know how to influence the behavior of individuals by setting up conditions which provide satisfaction for needs of which they are unconscious, by which we have been able to determine. We can achieve a sort of control under which the controlled, though they are following a code much more scrupulously than ever was the case under the old system, nevertheless feel free. They are doing what they want to do, not what they are forced to do. By careful design, we control not the final behavior, but the inclination of behavior, the motives, the desires, the wishes. The curious thing is that in that case, the question of freedom never arises. We are set free in Christ. If we reject Christ, we reject the Father, and this is the direction we go. What is missing in dialogue? Now, dialogue is such a big part of our life, and we worship at the altar of dialogue. But here's what's missing. And as our culture's gone here. In dialogue, there is no Father's authority. That is, there is no inheritance, posterity, history, tradition, inalienable rights, sovereignty, representation, that's representative government, limited government, local control, culture, call it a culture war, heritage, absolutes, that's established commands, rules, facts, and truth, everything subjective, private convictions, private property, private business, limits and measures, being wrong, humbling, denying, dying to, disciplining, controlling, capitulating in a self, contrition, repentance, forgiveness, salvation, conversion, redemption, and reconciliation for doing wrong, disobeying, sinning, fellowship, eternal life, and so forth. They're all missing. They're negated in and through dialogue. Dialogue is just the eternal present. It's just the here and now. Whenever behavior is established through dialogue, as was done in the Garden in Eden with the help of the master facilitator of change, that is, the master psychotherapist, whatever the person sees, they own. This is what happens to anyone in government who is intoxicated with, addicted to, and possessed by dialogue, perceiving their duty is to control whatever they see for the good of the people, that is, for their self. A man I knew said you'd take your talent, your school board members, send them off to a convention or conference, and they come back with a lobotomy. You couldn't talk to them anymore because they were trying to get you into dialogue when you want, you know, you see the change that they're producing this heresy, and you want to have a discussion with them, and they can't go to discussion because then they have to admit they're wrong. So go to dialogue. And he said unto them, ye are they justify yourself before men. But God knows your hearts, for that which is highly esteemed among men is abomination in the sight of God. Luke 16:15. Building relationship upon self-interest is the hallmark of Marxism, turning all who participate against the Father and his authority. It's a sad day when you have to explain Marxism in order to explain what is happening in the world around you today. Without restraint, all we have is our carnal nature, that is lust, and the world that stimulates it. Sinning with impunity, that is without having any sense of judgment, condemnation, being cast out for doing wrong. There is no wrong in dialogue, except insisting upon discussion, that is not letting someone share their opinion, that is dialogue. For we know that the law is spiritual. This is the Apostle Paul writing. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold unto sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that I do. Then do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that is good. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that is in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law, that when I would do good, evil is present with me. There's that Pandora's box. For I delight in the law of God, see that's with the mind, after the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. Romans 7, verses 14 through 25. Wilford Behan, who was director of the Tavistock Institute for a while, that's in England, very clearly explained the agenda in his book, A Memoir of the Future. The objective is, he said, to prevent someone who knows from filling the empty space. And he puts knows in caps. Prevent someone who knows from filling the empty space. The communist dictator over China, Mao Zedong, stated that words and actions should help to unite, not divide the people. The father divides upon being or doing right and not wrong. The children unite upon self-interest, which must set aside wrong. See, if you tell them other people all the time, well, you're wrong, it doesn't help the relationship. That is the father's authority for the sake of relationship, making pleasure the drive and this augmentation of purpose of life, not doing the father's will. Karl Marx, in Critique of Hegel's Philosophy of Right, wrote, quote, to enjoy the present reconciles us to the actual. In other words, according to Karl Marx, it is lust, that is enjoying the carnal pleasures of the moment, that the current situation and or object, people or person is stimulating, that makes us at one with the world, establishing lust over and therefore against the father's authority that gets in the way. Self is therefore actualized in lust, not in doing the father's will. Karl Marx, in his sixth thesis on Feuerbach, wrote, quote, the real nature of man is a totality of social relations. As cited in John Lewis's book, The Life and Teachings of Karl Marx, wrote, quote, it is not individualism that fulfills the individual. On the contrary, it destroys him. Society is a necessary framework through which freedom and individuality are made realities. In other words, according to Karl Marx, a child having to humble, deny, die to, control, discipline, capitulate to self in order to do the father's will is not what fulfills a child. On the contrary, see, he's focusing on the flesh, not made in the image of God, a living soul. On the contrary, for Marx, it is the father's authority, that is, a child having to do right and not wrong according to the father's established commands, rules, facts, and truth, that destroys him. That is what prevents him from becoming his self, thinking and acting according to his carnal nature. That is, according to what he has in common with all the children of the world. The child's desire for approval from others, requiring him to compromise in order to get along, that is, in order to build relationship, quote, is the necessary framework through which freedom from the father's authority and freedom to lust after pleasure, that is, to do what he wants without having a guilty conscience, which the father's authority engenders, are made reality. So it's essential for the group. This was the key, the dialoguing of opinions to a consensus in a group setting. The Marxist Norman O'Brien, in his book Life Against Death, The Psychoanalytical Meaning of History, explaining how psychology and Marxism are one and the same in agenda and outcome, wrote, "The individual is emancipated in the social group." See, in a group, you have to compromise. Under Dad, one above, he might have 5, 7 children. They're individually accountable to him. There's one up above. So if you have two fathers, now there's confusion. It's just the one. But with a group, to have a group, family, relatives, you have to compromise. Freud commented that only through the solidarity of all the participants could the sense of guilt be assuaged. Self-perfection of the human individual is fulfilled in union with the world in pleasure. There's Karl Marx. But this is Freud. According to Freud, the ultimate essence of our being is erotic. Eros is fundamentally a desire for union with objects in the world. Eros is the foundation of morality. According to Sigmund Freud, the guilty conscience is a product of the father's authority, which sustains the father's authority in society. It is only in the social group that the guilty conscience can be negated. According to the Marxist Norman Brown, without the social group, the child and society remain subject to the father's authority. Therefore, the child and society can only be liberated from the father's authority and the guilty conscience, which the father's authority engenders, in the social group, which justifies the child's carnal nature. That is eros. That is lust. Kurt Lewin, in his paper, Resolving Social Conflict, Selected Papers on Group Dynamics, wrote, quote, "The group to which an individual belongs is the ground for his perception, his feelings, and his actions." Kurt Lewin, as cited in Kenneth Manet's book, stated, quote, "It is usually easier to change individuals formed into a group than to change any one of them separately. The individual accepts the new system of values and beliefs by accepting belongingness to the group." Kurt Lewin and Wilbur Brookover, A Sociology of Education, wrote, quote, "The child takes on the characteristic behavior of the group in which he is placed. He reflects the behavior patterns which are set by the adult leader of the group." Quote, "Change in methods of leadership is probably the quickest way to bring about a change in the cultural atmosphere of a group. Any real change of the culture of a group is therefore interwoven with the changes of the power constellation within the group." This is Barker, Dembo, Lewin, Frustration and Regression, An Experiment with Young Children in Child Behavior and Development. It is the guilty conscience, which is engendered by the father's authority, that sustains the father's authority in the child and in the society, that thus those of dialectic reasoning are out to negate. The Marxist Norman Brown, explaining how the guilty conscience is engendered, wrote, "The guilty conscience is formed in childhood by the incorporation of the parents and the wish to be the father of oneself. What we call conscience perpetuates inside of us our bondage to past objects, now part of ourselves." That's a Marxist interpretation of the conscience. Robert Tijanovits, in his book, The Meaning of Community and Community Policing, now he was laying out a communist. He never was a policeman. He was a social engineer. He was a facilitator of change during this process. But he gives us a wonderful definition of the guilty conscience and where it originates. "The personal conscience is the key element in ensuring self-control, refraining from deviant behavior even when it can be easily perpetrated. The family, the next most important unit affecting social control, is obviously instrumental in the initial formation of the conscience and in the continued reinforcement of the values that encourage law-abiding behavior." Tijanovits then promotes bringing the police and the community together with the dialoguing of opinions to a consensus process, negating local control, that is the father's authority system, done with the use of crime to bring the people together. There is no father's authority, that is judgment, condemnation, fear of being cast out in dialogue. Therefore, using dialogue to establish right and wrong behavior negates not only the father's authority, it negates the guilty conscience as well. Well, there's a guilty conscience. You're not working with a group. That's a different, it's called the superego. Kurt Lewin, in his book, A Dynamic Theory of Personality, explained how the guilty conscience, what he called a negative valence, is created and how it can be negated. Quote, now these are just two sentences. He explains the whole thing. The negative valence of a forbidden object, which in itself attracts a child, that is the guilty conscience, thus usually derives from an induced field of force of an adult. See, if authority, you author commands, rules, facts, and truth, and you enforce them. Those two things. If you remove either one of those, you don't have authority. You have a tyrant who just beats people up, or you have somebody who there's nobody has to listen to. If this field, now here's the solution. How to overcome the father's authority in the child. If this field of force loses psychological existence for the child, if the adult goes away or loses his authority, the negative balance also disappears. All I have to do is say, you know, you won't be held accountable. We can talk about anything we want in here. And the child's free. While the guilty conscience ties the child to the father, or rather the father to the child, the superego ties the child to society. Benjamin Bloom, in his book, remember, All Teachers Certified, Schools Accredited through Bloom, Book 2, Effective Domain, explained that the taxonomy was all about promoting the superego, not the guilty conscience. Quote, superego development is conceived as the incorporation of the moral standards of society. What's that? Get along. Compromise. Don't hold to absolutes. Therefore, the levels of the taxonomy should describe successive levels of goal setting appropriate to superego development. Sigmund Freud had the same agenda as Karl Marx, negating the father's authority, not only in society, as Karl Marx sought to do, but in the individual as well. Sigmund Freud, as explained by Herbert Marcuse in his book Eros and Civilization, A Psychological Inquiry into Freud, established the child's agenda to, quote, kill and devour the father as a purpose of psychology. Quote, the hatred against patriarchal suppression, a barrier to incest, the desire for the sons to return to the mother culminates in the rebellion of the exiled sons, the collective killing and devouring of the father. It's not really a decisive matter whether one has killed one's father or abstained from the deed if the function of the conflict and its consequences are the same. That is, the husband or the father is no longer exercising his authority in the home over his wife and the children. Sigmund Freud's history of the prodigal son is not of the son coming to his senses, humbling himself, returning home, submitting himself to his father's authority, learning his inheritance was not his father's money, but his father's love for him, Luke 15:11-24, but of the son joining with his friends, returning home, killing the father, taking all that was his, the father's, using it to satisfy their carnal desires, that is, their lust, killing all the fathers in the land, devouring the fathers, so all the children could be the same, that is, like them, thereby affirming them, that is, their incest, justifying and supporting their carnal, their control over them. In dialogue, there's no father's authority. You literally, the father's been devoured. Now, you say, well, why not just kill him? Well, there's a tombstone there, and the next kids come by, and they go, well, who's that? Well, that's Dad. What happened to him? Well, we killed him. Well, really? What'd he do? Well, he kept telling us what we could or couldn't do. Now we have brought the structure back in, so you have to devour him. And in dialogue, it's gone. It's gone. The group grade, the fear of the father, the fear of right and wrong is now gone. Now it's, what can I get out of this for me? Abram Maslow, in his journals, the Journals of Abram Maslow, explaining that the agenda was to merge Marxism and psychology. Quote, Marxian theory needs Freudian-type instinct theory to round it out, and of course, vice versa. Third force psychology is also epi-Marxian in this sense, that is, including the most basic scheme as true good social conditions are necessary for personal growth. Bad social conditions stunt human nature. I'm going to inject here. The whole Protestant Reformation was a rejection of stimulus response Aristotelian logic. Create a healthy environment, you create a healthy person. Create an unhealthy environment, you create an unhealthy person. And so it was this structure. No, there was no environment on the face of the earth that man can become healthy before God. It is only by the work of God himself. And so this is a rejection of everything that was Protestant protesting, because he kept saying this is right and that's wrong, and this is right, that's wrong, and you won't change. So he's saying bad social condition stunt human nature. In other words, get in the way of lust of flesh, lust of the eyes, and pride of life. That would be God. That'd be the parent. It's the same structure. Even though the parent can be wrong and godless, he has that structure of right, wrong. You can take the gospel into that culture, into that structure, and they can understand the structure and they can hear and receive the gospel. But if you go to dialogue, that structure of the gospel of a father's authority over the son and father's authority over those who follow the son, that's gone. It's not there. You only see the son as a social, you know, fighting the establishment. That's as far as you can go. You can't accept the resurrection. Now, you might give it lip service, but you're not going to live accordingly. This is to say, one could reinterpret Marx into a self-actualizing, fostering third and fourth force psychology philosophy. And my impression is, anyway, that is, this is the direction in which they are going now. In other words, society needs man's natural inclination to lust after pleasure in order to become one. And man's natural inclination to lust after pleasure needs society's justification. The liberation of self, that is of lust, out from under the Father's authority is, quote, necessary for personal growth, while submission of self to the Father's authority, quote, stunts human nature. Marxism is philosophy and psychology becoming at one with one another. It is in dialogue, which does not recognize the Father's authority, that it all can become one, bypass the Father's authority in making rules, policies, and law, that is, in establishing right and wrong behavior, resulting in lust being right and the Father's authority being wrong. Jürgen Habermas, in Knowledge and Human Interest, Chapter 3, The Idea of the Theory of Knowledge as Social Theory, wrote, quote, and this is a classic quote, in the dialogic relation of recognizing oneself in the other, they experience the common ground of their existence. In other words, you'll recognize one another's lust for pleasure and hatred towards restraint. That's all you're going to get in dialogue. And everybody in the room can readily identify with that. Now, those who are in a discussion, what Dad says mode, are going to be rejected by the group if they hold to that. Irvin Laszlo, the man who developed the theory of climate change, wrote in his book, A Strategy for the Future, the Systems Approach to World Order, quote, bypassing the traditional channels of top-down decision-making. If we go to dialogue regarding behavior, we have just bypassed. I didn't challenge. I didn't say the Father's system was wrong. We just bypassed it. Making our objective centers upon transforming public opinion into an instrument of global politics. Individual values must be measured by their contribution to common interests and ultimately to world interests. That is, the common lusts. Transforming public consensus into one favorable to the emergence of a stable and humanistic world order. Consensus is both a personal and political step. It is a recondition of all future steps. Consensus means with feelings. Conscience means with facts, with right, wrong. See, conscience with science. You're either right or you're wrong. And the laws of gravity, drag thrusts, lift gravity, they're absolutes. Karl Marx's 11th thesis on Feuerbach is inscribed on his tomb. The philosophers have only interpreted the world in different ways. The objective, however, has changed. In other words, it is the Father's authority system, that is, the Father's established commands, rules, facts, and truth, which differ from father to father, that divides the people. It is in the child's propensity to respond, to change in accordance to the situation and or object, people, or person in the moment, that is the objective of life. In other words, stimulus response. Without the help of the facilitator of change, the children remain subject to the father's authority system. The facilitator of change, perceiving, and this is very important to understand, these next two sentences. The facilitator of change, perceiving himself as being the personification of the people, of the child, who, like him, lust after the carnal pleasures of the moment that the world stimulates, hating restraint, sees it as his duty to justify the people's, the children's, natural inclination to lust after pleasure in order to justify his natural inclination to lust after pleasure. When you question the facilitator of change's actions, he will respond with, "It is not just about you." Really meaning, and this is any facilitator of change walks in the room, this is what it's all about. It's all about me. So I can lust after pleasure without having a guilty conscience with your affirmation. If you refuse to affirm me, that is my lust, or get in the way of, quote, the people's lust, the people will remove, negate you, since having justified their lust, I now own them. It appears I must keep an eye on you from now on for my good. This is the true meaning of sight-based management. The transgression of the wicked saith within my heart, there is no fear of God before his eyes. For he flattereth himself in his own eyes until his iniquity be found to be hateful. The words of his mouth are iniquity and deceit. He hath left off to be wise and to do good. He devises mischief upon his bed. He setteth himself in a way that is not good. He abhorreth not evil. Psalms 36:1-4. For the wicked boasts of his heart's desire and blesses the covetous whom the Lord abhorreth. The wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts. When you build relationship on self-interest, you're blessing the covetous. You're coveting, and you're coveting with them. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itch in ears. In other words, what's new that entertains me? Excuse me. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth. See, when we have a world of dialogue and you bring discussion in, you're always the one perceived as being argumentative. Same is true. If you're in a world of science, true science and discussion, and you bring in dialogue, you're going to be perceived as being argumentative. They're two different political systems. They shall turn their ears away from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. 1 Timothy 3:2-5. And I encourage you to read the articles or listen to the audio of the group grade. And there's another one there too. I can't think of it right now. Both of those cover this in more depth in certain areas. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers. I think I've already read this. Disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers. No, it's a different verse. False accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. 1 Timothy 3:2-5. And what concord has Christ with Belial? Or what part has he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. And I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and my daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. 2 Corinthians 6:15-18. Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart, and in the sight of thine eyes. But know thou that for all these things God will bring thee into judgment. Ecclesiastes 11:9. But God commended his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if When we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son. Much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The first section was Romans chapter 5, verses 8 through 10. The second was 1 John 1 through 9. For by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourself. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man boast. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. And then I give you Satan's device was the one issue, and group grade is the other, and then the end notes, which you can read in the issue.